don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the insight, the encouragement that rests in your word. And thank you, Father, for the truth that as we simply spend time with you reading and meditating on your word, we're drinking from your fountain of grace. Thank you for the grace that flows into our hearts, our minds, our lives as we read and meditate on your word, spending time one-on-one with you. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that also as we spend that time, you're equipping us for the battlefield of life, equipping us to be bold warriors who step out on the battlefield both to share the gospel, to stand for truth, to stand for life as you would have us to, and empower us to be faithful to do that each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you would help to train us so that we can stand strong in your power. Father, I ask that you'd teach us and equip us and put us into active practice of seeing what it means to walk in the strength of your might, Father. Thank you so much, Father, for being our strength. You say that whoever waits on the Lord will receive our strength. Father, without you, we can accomplish nothing. Without you, we are weak and feeble. But Father, through you, whenever we walk in your presence, we can accomplish everything there is to accomplish in your kingdom. Thank you so much, Father, for empowering us. And thank you so much for being a loving, amazing, relational Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As we often do, I'm going to take a few moments to share one of the Christian education articles that we share with the goal of helping you and encouraging you in your walk with the Lord, encouraging you as a disciple of the Lord as well. And we're encouraging you, please email us to get a copy of the article with the goal of you using it both in your own walk with the Lord, but also as a tool for discipling your family and a tool to share with others, maybe fellow church members, fellow co-workers, saved and unsaved individuals as well, sharing truth by way of an article like this. The title of this article is Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. In a short, very interesting and powerful story from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and his creation. Again, this is Exodus 1, verses 15 to 22. Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah. When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. "Why have you done this?" he demanded. "Why have you allowed the boys to live?" "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," the midwives replied. "They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time." So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: throw the newborn Hebrew boys into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Again, verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Picture them, Shipra and Pua, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant mothers during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then one eventful day, Pharaoh gave them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys when they're born. It doesn't seem that he gave them any reasons as to why to do it. They were just told to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, but because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too, Exodus 1:17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys are not dying. So he calls the two midwives and confronts them, asking them why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shipra and Pua gave this response: "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time," Exodus 1:19. Well, what did the Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. So God in his sovereignty gave Shipra and Pua grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River, Exodus 1:22. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis. They courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the whole world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed the order. Why? Because the midwives feared God, Exodus 1:17. They stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, his will, and his word. Shipra and Pua, here in this story, teach by example how to stand up for what's right. They're showing us boldly that it's right to stand up for what's right and to stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses, around this time, was just a baby boy that was born early in the book of Exodus. Pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today can learn some very powerful lessons from Shipra and Pua. We in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we're guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua 1:6 and 7 says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Joshua 1:6 and 7. Today, governments and governmental leaders sadly have told us that it's all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shippers and Puas today. He's looking for people who will fear him. God is looking for believers who will obey the word of God. God is looking for believers who know what his word clearly says about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See Matthew 6:33, and not murdering. See Exodus 20:13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted to stand up for his word and for his babies. Well, what does it mean to stand up for God and to stand up for his children? Well, it can mean many things. Number one, pray daily for the spirit of boldness for believers so we will courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples. Pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in our world. Number two, pray much for the ministries on the front lines of spreading the gospel and standing for life. There's never a time to apologize for or shrink back from standing on the Word of God, for following the Word of God, or for speaking the Word of God. God's Word is our guidebook, our instruction manual for all of life. We're not ever to decide that disobedience to God's Word for any reason is okay. Why do we see so many persons who say that they love God, yet are not involved in the work of spreading the gospel, making disciples, or speaking out against the killing of innocent children in the womb? Sadly, the reasons are varied and numerous. Tragically, too many believers have opted not to walk courageously. In fact, too many believers are acting like cowards. A bit strong, one might say? Not really. The reality is that many among us who say we love the Lord walk and act like cowards. And the reality is the truth hurts. But very often it needs to be said because the truth helps us to see ourselves for who we are and where we stand. And once we see ourselves, if we're not who we should be, we can repent and ask God to help us to step up to where we should be. Today, too many pastors walk as cowards when it comes to what and how they are preaching and teaching from the pulpit. Many church leaders choose to stay away from issues and topics deemed controversial. Too often, church leaders shy away from challenging believers to live sacrificially. Why? Well, it's easier not to ruffle feathers in the pews if we stay away from quote-unquote controversial issues, and if we avoid encouraging believers to sacrificially serve the Lord Jesus. Too often, leaders or church people will say things like, "We don't want to offend anyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. Preaching the truth is offensive. Clearly, preaching the Ten Commandments and telling people what is right and what is wrong is or can be offensive." Too many believers don't seem to believe, and too many who say they love the Lord live as cowards. Sometimes a little inconvenience or awkwardness can cause many a believer to shy away from sharing the gospel or giving out a gospel tract in a given setting. The last time I tried to give someone a gospel tract, the man I offered it to said he didn't want it, so he was very rude and he really embarrassed me. Should I still witness in public when people sometimes do things like that? Someone might ask. Well, the Lord Jesus, in order to save us, went through quite a lot for us. Christ allowed himself to be slapped, beaten, abused, publicly humiliated, and ultimately crucified because our blessed Savior went through all of this for us. Can we not simply go through a small degree of sacrifice, inconvenience, and discomfort in service to him? When it comes to standing for and preaching about life, sadly, cowards abound. Often pastors say things like, "I don't want to hurt the feelings of my parishioners," or "people will get offended if I talk about or preach about this topic." Consider what happens when we as preachers of the gospel and followers of Christ as a whole don't preach, teach, and share the truth. People die in their sins. And people who think they're on their way to heaven may die and go to hell. Also, babies die by the cruel means of abortion, and people who have had abortions walk into a devastating life due to the aftermath of an abortion. Men and women who go down this road experience extreme regret, depression, heartache, nightmares, and sadly, sometimes suicide. We're called to preach the truth that sets people free. Again, Shipra and Pua are outstanding role models for the church today when it comes to being courageous in the way we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every pastor, preacher, and believer should ask, "Am I a courageous follower of Christ or am I a coward?" The Word says, "By their fruits you will know them." We'll be right back.
As a nation, have totally forsaken. Oh, Lord. forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just taking time to briefly complete an article that we were sharing. The title of the article, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. Completing the article, it says, babies die by the cruel means of abortion, and people who have had abortions walk into devastating life due to the aftermath of an abortion. Many women who go down this road experience extreme regret, depression, heartache, nightmares, and sadly, sometimes suicide. We, the church, are called to preach the truth that sets people free. Again, Shipra and Pua are outstanding role models for the church today when it comes to being courageous in the way we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every pastor, preacher, and believer should ask, am I a courageous follower of Christ, or am I a coward? As Matthew 17:20 tells us, therefore by their fruits you will know them. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, the title of the article, Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. My email is joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We're blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today Tina Whittington. She's a part of the leadership team of that outstanding organization called Students for Life. Tina, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Honored to have you. We've had you before, but it's actually been a number of years, so it's good to have you back. Tina, would you take a few moments to further introduce yourself and then tell our listeners specifically about Students for Life? Many of our listeners probably are somewhat or very familiar with Students for Life, but then there are those who this may be the first time in their life ever hearing about such an organization. So would you tell them about yourself and Students for Life?
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, so I will just kind of give you a little bit of my background and why I am so passionate about Students for Life and being involved in this organization. So I was actually raised in a secular home. I'm from Portland, Oregon, originally, and I had Christian friends in middle school who invited me to church, and I started attending and just recognized, you know, who God was and that He was my Heavenly Father, and, you know, submitted my life to Him and got baptized and became a member of my church. And through my time at youth group, you know, I always say I'm so glad God doesn't reveal everything to us all at once, because we'd probably run away. But slowly, as I learned God's word and went to Bible studies, I just learned more and more about how we're supposed to live as Christians and, you know, what is right and what is wrong, things that I hadn't really been instilled with within my family. And the youth minister, when I was in high school, did a whole presentation about abortion. And we looked at scriptures, you know, Jeremiah, that I knew you, you know, before you were born, I knit you in your mother's womb. And we heard testimony on an audio cassette from Carol Everett, who owned abortion facilities in Texas and then became pro-life. And she shared her story. And I just was like, I am pro-life. I was so convicted at the beginning of that message. I think I was sort of pro-choice by default. I think it's a common cultural default especially if you haven't heard anything about abortion or really thought about it. But I was like, wow, it's millions of babies and I'm one person. What can I do? And I really didn't know what to do with my passion. And it, a couple weeks after that message and sort of my pro-life conversion, I was in the locker room in my high school and I overheard two girls talking about, one of them was pregnant and considering an abortion. And my heart's racing and I'm just thinking, Lord, that's a baby. She's about to make a decision to end the life of her baby, but I didn't know what to do. And so I prayed, which, I mean, obviously the Lord wants us to pray, but I wanted to do so much more and I just didn't have the words. I didn't know that there were pregnancy centers or places that could help her. And I'm pretty sure she had the abortion because I never saw her pregnant in our high school halls, but that feeling of not being equipped, stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And just that feeling of powerlessness of just not knowing what to do or what to say or how to give someone resources really impacted me. And I met my husband when I was in college and he was actually doing stuff for life. He was praying at abortion facilities. He was doing, fundraisers for pregnancy centers and registering people to vote. And he had all these pathways of how you can engage on the issue of life, from a public square standpoint to an interpersonal relationship standpoint. And I was so inspired and got involved with him and what he was doing. And then later came to know Kristen Hawkins, who's the president of Students for Life, and started working here. And what I love about Students for Life is our focus is on young people like I was, who want to know more about abortion, want to resource their peers, want to be able to have a difficult conversation about the horror of abortion, the humanity of the child. And so that's what Students for Life is. We work on middle school, high school, college, law, and med schools to equip students to have powerful, meaningful conversations about abortion with their peers through recognized clubs on campus. And then we also connect them with their community so they know, you know, if they're talking to someone on campus and they find out, you know, Jane is pregnant and considering an abortion, they could say, hey, you know what? Let me call Women's Choice. Because Janie over there is my friend and we can schedule an ultrasound to make sure, you know, that you are pregnant, how far along you are, and talk about an alternative to abortion.
Bettina,
so that's what we do. We have about 1,400 groups across the country right now.
Before you go further, because again, I know, mm-hmm. of course, you're just kind of getting started sharing about the ministry, but would you pray for listeners to be wide open to what the Lord may say to them? Because, of course, obviously, many of our listeners may very well be students in some capacity who can mm-hmm. become a part of one. But then there are others who the Lord may be calling them to become prayer warriors for Students for Life, people that give financially or in some way or another help. But would you pray for them to be wide open to what the Lord may say to them through the broadcast today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So before this broadcast, the Lord put on my heart Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Heavenly Father, we know that there are those around us in our churches, in our communities, on our campuses who do not know you and do not know about the reality of abortion. And so first I just ask that you would open our eyes and break our hearts for the things that break yours, that we would be able to see how we can engage on the issue of life, how we can be your voice and stand in the gap, and how we can support those who maybe are already warriors out there on the front lines at abortion facilities, on college campuses, at pregnancy centers. Lord God, just that we would be prayer warriors for them so that they would be encouraged and empowered to continue this good work. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Tina, did you say did you say about how many campuses Students for Life is on right now?
Yeah, we're on just over 1,400 campuses across the country. Okay. That's all 50 states and Puerto Rico.
Okay. And you said middle school, high school, and college and university campuses then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have resources and educational tools directed at each different sort of age group, because, of course, you're probably not going to do a presentation to middle schoolers like you would a college
right.
group.
Well, if someone's listening is a student and they know they don't have a chapter at their school, what can they do to try to help start one?
Yeah, if you email info@studentsforlife.org, and that's students with an SFORLIFE.org, and just put a request, I'd like to start a group or find out information about how to start a group, they'll get you connected with your regional coordinator who serves your state. Mm-hmm. So we have regional coordinators who really, they live in different regions and they serve 1 to 3 states, depending on, you know, the size of the states, to really walk beside the students, help them get their group started, go onto campus with them to train them, but also do an outreach with them so they can just really, you know, be supported and encouraged and, you know, be walked through some of their first efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. So basically they need to contact the organization Students for Life and mm-hmm. they can help kind of guide them through the steps to pursue it then, right?
Yes. So we can help you with, especially on college campuses, the process can be a little bit more complicated. You have to write a sample constitution. We have a pro-life sample constitution that you can use, but we can walk you through step by step and how to work with your university or high school or even middle school administration to get an officially recognized group on your campus.
Okay.
The pathway there is that mm-hmm. if you're an officially recognized group on a campus, then you just have more rights to put up a table or put up flyers or host a meeting, things like that. So it is the avenue that we use to have the most impact on a campus.
Okay. How would you ask listeners to pray specifically for the needs and the challenges and the priorities of Students for Life today?
Mm-hmm. So I would say ever since the Dobbs decision that, you know, reversed Roe and Doe and put the decision about abortion back into the state's hands, there's been a lot more animosity on campus, violence sometimes. Our student groups will get protested when they're tabling for their pregnancy resource center. So there's just a lot more aggression and anger over the issue of abortion that our students are facing. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a little bit more effort to be courageous. You know, our students, they want to follow the rules. They want to be respectful. And so sometimes, you know, when they're faced with that kind of pushback or obstacles from their administration, you know, they can kind of lose their nerve or courage. Mm-hmm. And so really praying for our students to be a courageous voice for life mm-hmm. and to have wisdom in how to move forward on campus to impact it to the best of their ability.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Can you share maybe an illustration, a story or two of how you've seen God use students to really impact their campuses in great ways through some of the mm-hmm. chapters of Students for Life?
Yes. So we meet students all the time. We have thousands of conversations on college campuses every day. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I find is that our students are sometimes the first opportunity for a young person to really be to have to address the abortion issue. Like I said, my own story was I was sort of like cultural default pro-choice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of young people, they just have that culture default. And so our students are out there tabling and, you know, have the fetal models and all of that. And they're having in real time conversations with people who are shaping their worldview about abortion because they've never been challenged to think about it before. Mm-hmm. And so here are some things the Lord has done through that. One is we've had people who have had an abortion who come to the booth and talk to our students and are not only convicted about, you know, that abortion is wrong, but that their abortion is wrong. Mm-hmm. And that they've been carrying the weight and the grief and the shame of that. And our students have been able to plug their peers into abortion recovery Bible studies. And then some of those students have become some of our top leaders. Once God meets them in their brokenness and brings them healing and sets them free from that, they become powerful voices on campus. Mm-hmm. We've had students.
Tina, I'm going to jump in right here, and we're going to pick up right here on the other side of the break.
Yes.
Our phone guest today is Tina Whittington. She's a part of the leadership team of the powerful pro-life organization, Students for Life. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire. Where the Spirit your name that tears down walls, and every enemy.
The music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our guest today, phone guest today, is Tina Whittington of Students for Life. And Tina, if you'll just dive right in where you left off there, please.
Yeah, so the other story I just wanted to share is we have a Students for Life group on a college campus in the Midwest who has a scholarship for pregnant and parenting students, and it's small. It's $500, and they had a student on their campus who had an abortion appointment scheduled and saw that there was a scholarship for a parenting or pregnant student, and that radically changed her mind about her abortion, and she chose life. Mm-hmm. And the student group was blown away because they were like, it's only $500. And, you know, that was enough to help empower you to choose life. And her response was, I was looking for one person to tell me I could do it and that I'd be supported. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, that made all the difference because I knew there was someone here on this campus who would support me and who were telling me that I could do this, I could have a baby and continue my education or, you know, pursue my career and that mm-hmm. I'd have the support I need. So we're changing minds, we're bringing healing, helping people choose life. And I think that's, you know, this is the Planned Parenthood is our nation's largest abortion provider, and mm-hmm. 79% of Planned Parenthoods are not only located in minority communities, but they're located within 5 miles of a college campus. And mm-hmm. they have a targeted clientele. And so there's a lot of pressure in minority communities, but also on college campuses to choose abortion. And so if we can break through that noise and, you know, make a relationship with these young people and, you know, steer them away from Planned Parenthood, we're winning.
Amen. Amen. Well, in this final segment, if there's anything else on your heart or your mind that you wanted to share, I wanted to invite you to do that before we run out of time today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the other scriptures, two other scriptures that the Lord put on my heart before this, and one was Ephesians 6:10, which you shared. So that just feels like a confirmation. But when it comes to the issue of abortion, when it comes to the pro-life issue, and I think about, you know, the whole armor of God, I just want to encourage everyone that the truth is on our side. We know it biblically that God values life, that he makes us in his own image. We are image bearers of God. And scientifically, we know human life begins at the moment of conception. And so we don't have to be afraid because we have the truth on our side, mm-hmm. and also righteousness. So this is a right cause. It's righteous in that, you know, anytime we can hold back evil and preserve life, but also hold back harm. Like you had mentioned earlier, when women have an abortion, you know, not only can they be injured physically, but emotionally and psychologically, all the way up to, you know, depression and, you know, attempting suicide. And so our cause is righteous. It brings righteousness into the lives of families. And then it's the gospel of peace as part of that whole armor of God. And there is nothing that brings more peace than life and honoring life and honoring the family, because that brings peace to families, to mothers, to fathers, but also to our nation when we honor how God made families and how God makes life. And then just faith. A lot of us are motivated by our faith to do this work. And so it comes from a good place that we can move forward in. And salvation, you know, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, we've seen people become pro-life first, and it opens the door up to where does that value of life come from? And you and I know, Reverend Parker, the value of life comes from the intrinsic value God gives us. Mm-hmm. When he creates us, when he makes us in his image and likeness. So just the salvation just can be opened up through the message of life. And I love it. I had a friend that used to have on his door, when we need saving, God sends a baby, because the Jews needed saving, you know, under the Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And so God sent a baby. And then, you know, we needed saving from, you know, eternal separation from God. So God sent a baby Jesus. And sometimes he sends those little miracles into our life through unexpected, unplanned pregnancies. And there's a little piece of his salvation there. I've talked to many women who said, this baby saved my life. I was going down a bad path, and this child woke me up, shaped me, changed me, you know, made me open my eyes. And then just the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The Word of God is so clear on this issue. He forms us. He knits us in our mother's wombs. He knows us before we're even born. And he's got a plan and a purpose for every single one of our lives. So I just, that fact that this, we, when we talk about the issue of abortion, when we engage on the issue of life, we can fully wear that whole armor of God and move forward, you know, in power with that. But one of the things we were talking about earlier is just, this has been a season that's been hard because there has been so much pushback after the Dobbs decision. You know, we're heading up to an election. There are six states in the United States that have ballot referendums to make abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy in their state constitutions. There's a real, real battle going on for the heart of our nation on this issue. And it can get hard. It can become defeating. And so I just wanted to exhort everyone with Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It is ours to sort of put our hand on the plow of the field God's put in front of us, and we push that plow and we plant the seed and we do it in faith, but it's God who, you know, grows that seed. And that's, it's right. God who really, if we keep doing the work, will lead us to a place where we will reap the harvest. And there's just a level of faith there mm-hmm. that we need to engage in and know it's up to us to not give up. We have Amen. To keep watering the seed. We have to keep plucking the weeds and hoeing the rows and, you know, mm-hmm. doing that work.
That's
and if
right.
we keep up with that, we will reap a harvest. I just love that God gives us that promise.
Well, Tina, would you take time now specifically to pray for the church? You know, the fact is the church is God's, the body of Christ in the world, God's hands and feet, and the church is so strategic to everything in the mm-hmm. kingdom of God, and certainly as it relates to the life issue. And there's such a need for so many more, both pastors and believers, period, that need to, there's so much more the church can do and needs to be doing. Would you mm-hmm. pray for the church to become much more mobilized and engaged with the mm-hmm. life issue?
Yes. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for the gift of the church. Lord, that you created the church for us to be able to fellowship together, to learn more about you, and as a body of believers to come together and serve you, but also serve our hurt and broken communities, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would move on pastors' hearts, that you know they would really have eyes to see the issue of abortion and how it's affecting their congregation and their communities, Lord, that you would empower them and encourage them to speak out from the pulpit on the issue of life. Lord, that those in the congregation who maybe have had an abortion, who have not really sought out your healing and forgiveness, Lord, I pray that resources would be brought to them, that they would be convicted by your Holy Spirit to confess this and to seek that healing and that forgiveness, so that they would be set free from the weight of their abortion, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would help us as a church to be more vocal on the issue. Connect us, God, with those in our own communities who are doing good work that we can support, whether it's pregnancy centers, maternity homes, you know, other right to life type mm-hmm. organizations, our Students for Life groups who are serving on campuses, Lord, that you would just tie together the churches with the community efforts, Lord, so that they would both be built up, that when she comes into a pregnancy center, that center director knows where to point her to go to church, so that the church can walk with her not only through this unexpected crisis pregnancy, but through her entire life, Lord God. I just pray that you would wake us up, that we would be a mighty voice on this issue. And Lord, we just pray that you would forgive us for the sin of abortion in the United States. Millions of babies have died, and a lot of us have been silent. And so I just pray, God, that you would help us to not be silent any longer. Give us courage. Give us the words. Help us seek the resources and education we need to be vocal about this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tina. Tina, our time is just about up. Would you share once again, if someone listening, maybe persons that are students who are thinking to themselves, they want to find out whether or not they have one on their campus or maybe how they can help to start one. Mm-hmm. But there may be others who are thinking to themselves, they would like to know how to just effectively pray for God to bring a Students for Life chapter to maybe a local college mm-hmm. or university in the communities. Would you speak to them in the next 60 seconds?
Yes. So if you're a student and you're interested in either getting connected with your group or starting a group, you can just send us an email. We'll just need to know the name of your campus and what city and state you're in to connect you with your regional coordinator. Just email info@studentsforlife.org. And if you're an adult and or a student and you just want to know more about abortion and what's out there and what's happening, right now, if you go to our website, studentsforlife.org, students with an S, forlife.org. We have a special thing up right now, which is 10 ways to keep your kids pro-life. So it's different things you can do as a parent or a grandparent to help keep your kids plugged into the life issue. Mm-hmm. But then also there are a ton of resources and videos. If you want to equip yourself to be able to have really great conversations with people, your neighbors, people in your church. That's mm-hmm. the place to go to get that information and those resources.
All right. Well, Tina, thank you so much for being with us today. And let me say to all of our listeners, please pray much for the work and the ministry of Tina Whittington and the organization Students for Life. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved and to fully commit your life to Christ. If you want to make that step in your life, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed just then, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow strong and grow up in your newfound relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Tina, thanks so much for being with us. Would you share the website one more time if someone wants to get in touch with Students for Life?
Yes, it's studentsforlife.org. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us and sharing. And please pray much for Tina Whittington and the staff of Students for Life. They're doing a wonderful, powerful work as the Lord uses them to touch our nation. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.